Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. It's okay, leave it. If you hear something shaky, I just hit the stand.
Hi, I'm Emily.
I'm Jeanette.
Welcome back to Horror Slumber Party.
I was about to plug our Instagram and stuff, but it's not time for that. I was about to be like, yeah, add us on Instagram.
But if you want to, it is a Horror Slumber Party podcast, just so you know.
And we will also plug it at the end. Stay tuned.
So how are you doing this week?
Good. Yeah. What did I do?
You went to Dallas. I mean, you usually do.
Yeah. I visited my sister. They were finally back in town from Disney World, and I got to see them.
How often does your family go to Disney World?
This is only their second time. Okay. But I feel like they were, like, there was like a year. I can't talk. Hello. There was only like a year in between.
That's not long at all.
But, I mean, they literally started saving right after they came back from the last trip. So.
Nice.
Also, the first trip was a Make-A-Wish, so.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
It was all free.
Yeah. Oh, Disney's so fun, though.
Oh, I love Disney.
Welcome to our true crime podcast. We talk about Disney World.
The murder of Mickey Mouse.
Oh, we're going to get sued.
Oh, no, we said Mickey Mouse. Actually, I'm going to do a bonus about Disney World.
Okay. Stay tuned for that, I guess.
Like, I actually, it's something that everyone knows about, but like, is it
really
true, you know?
Here I am being clueless. I know, you're like, as usual.
Well, then now I'm not even going to tell you because then it'll be more interesting.
Okay, well, it just came to mind. That'll come out.
Anyways, this is not that episode.
It's not, no.
It's Emily's turn, thank God.
Girl, I had a bonus last week. It was a bonus.
I love bonuses.
I know.
I like doing those. I feel like I can fit more information and just, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't have to talk at the beginning. I mean, we don't have to. Either way, but we do anyway. Hi to Andrea and Karina that talk a lot about us bantering.
You know what? If you don't like us getting off topic, I am so sorry.
We do this in everyday life.
It's not off topic if we haven't started it yet, okay?
What was Mia saying? So my little sister, her name is Mia. She was saying that we sound really good, like whenever we're saying the facts, but as soon as we go off topic, we sound scripted.
I was like, wait, hold on. Shouldn't it be the other way around?
I know, right? I mean, maybe that's good.
I mean, yeah.
I guess I'll take it as a compliment.
Honestly, now when I go off topic, I'm going to act like it's scripted.
Okay. So you're going to start talking like this, acting like there's a script?
Yes. So anyways, today what does that word say? Oh, never mind.
Atlantic City?
Yes, I went to Atlantic City. What the hell? People are like, they're insane.
I'm so sorry for new people.
We are actually this crazy in person. One of these days when we become popular, we'll do meet and greets and then you can see how weird we are. Isn't that exciting?
We would never be able to do meet and greets because I'd be too nervous and you'd want to hug everybody and I'd just be crying.
I would love meet and greets. That would be so freaking cool. I love attention on me.
Oh my gosh.
It's true though. Like,
I mean, it is.
I've always told Emily that I love being talked about.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I don't really like it when it's bad, obviously. Like, who does, you know? But, like,
some people.
I just love it when they're like, oh, I saw Jeanette today. She's so cute or something.
So
No one says that.
Get murdered. You want me to do an episode on you then?
I mean, I hope that doesn't happen.
You hope I won't do an episode on you when you get murdered? Not when, wait.
Oh my God. I hope you're not predicting the future.
Dude, you know how bad
Lord,
I am with
please let me be okay. I love you so much.
Okay, so anyway.
Please save me, Lord. I don't want to get murdered. Amen.
Okay.
I feel better.
Okay, good.
Anyways, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, no. But if that would never happen, but in that scenario, my ghost would do the podcast with you.
Oh, of course. So you talk about it too.
I would do the paranormal thing, but like my side, me as a ghost, you know? Oh, and I'm like, sometimes I like to scratch on walls.
I don't know what was so funny about what just happened. But she just said, sometimes I like to scratch on walls, and now she's dying with laughter.
I just imagine, like, having a ghost, like, interview, and we're like, so, like, how do you haunt? And they're like, I don't know, sometimes I scratch the walls, sometimes I moan a bit, you know?
I'll keep that in mind for my next ghost interview that we're gonna have, apparently. Okay, so...
How is that not funny to you?
No, that is
just
funny.
Just imagine interviewing a ghost, and that's what they freaking say, like... Because they don't have an occupation.
You're so loud. You're so loud.
Because they don't have an occupation.
That's true.
Anyways.
Are you ready to get sad?
No.
Too bad.
I was
my
so
episode.
Happy. So, I love talking about ghosts and their occupation.
So... Today, our story was, well, Karina was talking to me about it again. So this
it's
is
another...
the third episode that Karina has had
hey,
some
Karina,
influence.
Hey, Karina, she's the one that's keeping us going. That's it.
She's our only listener, and we love you.
We do.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about the Zodiac Killer. Have you heard of him?
Yes.
Was that a no? I honestly can't tell. She glared at me.
No, I feel like I heard of him. Maybe you said something about him before.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe. Okay.
But I honestly don't really know any true crime stories, so.
And I don't know any paranormal
I know
stories.
Ted Bundy.
We'll do that one eventually. By the way, sorry, I'm going to start reading the book that I have, Stranger Beside Me by Anne Rice.
I literally thought you were about to say Stranger Things.
Yeah, Stranger Things, the Ted Bundy book, of course. Stranger.
Crossover?
Oh, that's sad. Okay.
That is sad.
No, stop. Stranger Beside Me, it was written by Anne Rule, who was a co-worker of Ted Bundy's, and she's also a very popular true crime novelist as well.
Wait, that's a clever title. Mm-hmm. Stranger Beside Me.
Yeah, they actually worked together at a 911 hotline, or a suicide hotline, sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that crazy?
It's so weird to think. I mean, I go over this every episode, but like, anyone, you don't really know the person like you're working with, or you're, you know... It's weird.
It's terrifying.
I mean, I know the people I work with. Hey, guys.
Oh, no. I'm scared. Okay, we're going to stop talking about our coworkers now.
I promise I'm okay. To my coworkers, you are not working with a stranger. Okay, moving on. I'm not making sense anymore.
Okay, so I'm just going to take over.
Please.
Okay. So, the Zodiac Killer is actually unsolved.
Oh,
basically.
Not yet.
I forget that we always solve.
I do.
Things.
Not we, I.
I'm sorry. So, this is a pseudonym of an unidentified serial killer who operated in Northern California from the late 1960s to the early 1970s. Cool. So, he has murdered victims in Benicia, Vallejo, Napa County, and San Francisco between December 1968 and October 1969.
Did I say that? 1969?
No, I said 1969. Oh my gosh, where am I?
I'm just being a child.
You
That's
are,
a,
it's okay.
Go on.
Oh my gosh, wait. Yesterday I saw a truck whose license plate... had 6669 on it, and I was like, that's the devil number and the naughty number. That's all. Okay.
Oh, so, no.
Wait, now I feel like I have
that
to
that was
show
scripted,
you.
Guys, by the
that
way.
That was scripted. I was thinking of that the whole time. Oh, wait. That's a sign that says big dicks and magic tricks, which made
what?
Me laugh equally as hard.
Wait.
Okay, but we're not going to go off topic anymore because we need to stay on topic.
We need to stop reading the script.
Okay, so, yes, of course, the script. And I've already lost my
Okay, so the killer targeted 4 men and 3 women between the ages of 16 and 29, with 2 of the men who did survive the murder. So just so you know, real quickly, going to cite my sources, I will again at the end of the podcast, just to make sure that they are there. I'm going to be using mainly history.com, Wikipedia, and Biography. Those are going to be my three main sources.
Did you just say Wikipedia?
I did. I did not say it like that, though.
Wikipedia?
No, but all of the information I found is pretty good. So.
That's true. I mean, yeah. Honestly, Wikipedia is not bad. It's just not, like, scholar approved or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, but the Zodiac Killer, he has claimed to kill upwards of 37 victims, which is crazy, obviously.
I'm so sad.
I know. So the killer originated the name Zodiac in a series of taunting letters of cards sent to the local Bay Area press. The letters included 4 cryptograms or ciphers. Of the 4 cryptograms sent, only one has definitely been solved. So this is the picture of the sketch of what he looks like. It's also the one that I posted on the Instagram as well.
Why do they always have to wear glasses?
You know, glasses are scary.
Rawr.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay, so there have been a few suspects named by law enforcement and amateur investigators, but no actual evidence has ever, like, come forward. The San Francisco Police Department marked the case inactive in April 2004 and reopened it to some point prior in March 2007. The case remains open in the city of Vallejo, as well as in Napa County and Solano County. The California Department of Justice has maintained an open case file on the Zodiac murder since 1969. Yeah.
It's just going to be one of those episodes where you just hear me saying, that's...
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh, excuse that.
Especially
I'm sorry.
Since it isn't...
Oh, my God.
You're so popular.
I know.
Especially since it isn't solved. I feel like those are, like, some of the harder cases to actually talk about, just because those, like, poor families don't have any closure
on what happened. It's so sad.
So the Zodiac Killer was linked to... at least 5 murders in Northern California in 1968 and 1969. And, well, he said that he may have been responsible for more, as he did, you know. Like, right. This person said that they did upwards of 37.
Right.
So he also taunted the police and, like, made threats through letters sent to newspapers in the area from 1969 to 1974. And then suddenly all communication just stopped. Between him. The mystery surrounding the murders has been subject of numerous books and movies, and there also is a movie that just came out in 2007 called Zodiac. I believe it is on Netflix.
Okay.
I haven't seen it personally, but this is what Karina was watching. She has a weird experience with this movie. But this is what she was watching that made her interested in it.
Okay.
And I need to watch it, actually. Probably I'll watch it tonight. Like, well, it's fresh on my mind. And then I'll hop on here by myself and I'll, like, make comments, like, editor's notes. Like, this didn't happen. I'm dumb, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So.
You heard it here first, folks.
You heard it here first. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about the victims.
Okay.
So the confirmed victims, the first ones are going to be David Arthur Faraday and Betty Lou Jensen. David was 17.
Betty Lou.
That's so sad. Because it's such like a sweet name, you know? I believe they were, my phone just freaked out on me. Did you see that? It did the same thing yours
does.
It's
like something my phone would do.
Yeah. Actually, no, we're not going to start with those. Haha. We're going to start in Santa Barbara. Sorry. with Robert Domingos and his fiance Linda Edwards. They were seniors at Lompoc High School in Santa Barbara County in Southern California. On Tuesday in early June 1963, the couple decided to use Senior Ditch Day to go sunbathing on a beach near Gaviota State Park.
Oh.
Yeah, this is sad. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Just so you know, this case wasn't exactly confirmed to be the work of the Zodiac Killer. This happened in 1963, and I mean, the cases that we're mostly going off of were 1968 to 69. Oh, okay. This one was just very similar to the other cases.
Could be.
And in the same area, yeah, okay. Northern California, you know.
Not the same, yeah. Time period of his killings.
But pretty close.
But it could definitely be him.
Yeah. So they decided to go sunbathing, beach near Gaviota State Park. When the two teenagers didn't return home by Wednesday, Robert's father went to the beach and was horrified to find their bodies lying together in the remains of a crumbling shack, which is so sad. The victims, bound with a rope, had tried to escape, but they were shot and killed with a .22 caliber weapon.
Oh my God.
Robert was shot 11 times, and Linda had been shot 9 times. Which is a crazy amount.
No, it really is.
That's overkill.
Even
without a doubt.
I mean, even one is too much, but
obviously, yeah.
Even when someone gets shot 3 times, it's oh my God.
That's terrifying. Yeah.
Benign.
I know. What was one of our more recent episodes with the Halloween party and the poor girl that was stabbed 30 something times?
Yeah. They just keep going.
Yeah.
Going. Stabbing is... Ugh. I feel like with a it's gun, it's, personal. A lot easier
yeah.
to, shoot a lot.
Stabbing tends to indicate, personal vendettas or, personal anger with
I kind of want to go, have an episode of, psychological effects. That'd be kind of
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, going on.
So, the killer had dragged the bodies to a shack, and he had tried and failed to start a fire. They did have a few leads, but in 1972, the Santa Barbara's County Sheriff's Department announced a possible Zodiac connection. The beach killer used Winchester Western Super X ammunition, which was the same ammunition used by the Zodiac during the 1968 murders on Lake Herman Road. The Domingos Edwards case also had similarities to the Zodiac's attack of another young couple at Lake Berryessa in 1969. So that's how it was linked.
Okay.
So this is going to be another possible Zodiac one.
Okay.
So this is an 18-year-old, Sherry Josephine. Sherry Josephine Bates lived with her father, Joseph, who was a student at Riverside City College in Riverside, Florida, on October 30th, 1966, she left a note that read, "Dad went to RCC library." The next morning, her Volkswagen Beetle was found abandoned in the library parking lot, and her body was found lying between two houses. She had been stabbed several times, and her throat had been slashed. Police found a men's Timex on the crime scene, a print of some military boot, and some hairs dried in... And some hairs and dried blood on the victim's hand. Her purse was intact, and the autopsy revealed no evidence of sexual assault. 1 month after the murder, the local newspaper and the police department received typewritten letters titled "The Confession" from someone who claimed to be her murderer. The author wrote, "Miss Bates was stupid. She went to the slaughter like a lamb. I am not sick. I am insane." In April 1967, the newspaper, the police, and Joseph Bates received virtually identical handwritten letters that read, "Bates had to die. There will be more." The notes were signed with a symbol that resembled the letter Z.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's pretty rough.
Wow.
Yeah. But I feel like there are so many cases in which the serial killers get too cocky in what they do and they start getting sloppy. Israel Keyes. How, remember, he was caught with Samantha Koenig's license in his car whenever he was pulled over for doing something suspicious. Her license, her ATM card, everything like that was in his car. That was just him not doing good work there.
Right.
Because he was under the mindset, I can do whatever because no one's going to catch me. I'm too good to be caught. You know?
Wow.
Yeah. Except this time, this guy seems as though he was good enough not to get caught, which is terrifying. And I hope he's dead now. Just to be clear. In 1969, Riverside Police contacted investors in Northern California regarding the similarities between the zodiac signs and the murder of Sherry Jo Bates, which I guess is what she went by. Sherwood Morrill documents further. Wow. Then document examiner for California Department of Justice concluded that Zodiac was responsible for the notes linked to the Bates case. Because, well, in the Zodiac case, there are a bunch. He sent letters, like I mentioned at the beginning, and they all have the signature thing at the bottom, which right. is the same thing on there. Zodiac then sent a letter to Los Angeles Times indicating that the killer confirmed the theory that he had killed Bates. The Zodiac wrote, I do have to give them credit for stumbling across my Riverside activity, but they are only finding the easy ones. There are a hell lot of more down there. Years later, Riverside police rejected the Zodiac theory and focused on a man who they said was a jilted former lover of Bates. In the late 1990s, police obtained a sample of the suspect's DNA to compare with the DNA taken from the hairs found on the victim's hand in 1966. The DNA did not match and denied any involvement with the murder.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The information that I'm using right here is all being... I'm using information from history.com right now. Sorry, I feel the need to... Okay. Cite every like
well, all right
couple seconds just because I'm mostly reading word for word. I don't want to get like
yeah wow.
But those were the two that were not entirely confirmed that it was the Zodiac killer,
but definitely could be.
Yes, but there are definitely signs that lead to it that it could be the Zodiac killer.
I don't know why I let you tell me these stories, because they just make me feel yucky.
You're the one that signed up for it, man. I'm sorry.
You're right.
Okay, so now we're going to get into ones that were more confirmed that it was the Zodiac killer. So, 5 nights before Christmas, high school students Betty Lou Jensen and David Faraday... Now we're at the spot that I tried to start it at the beginning, but stopped myself from doing.
We're back.
They went on their first official date together.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Stop right there. We need no more of this.
Okay, no, that did sound scripted. I'm not going to lie. The way you said that.
It wasn't. No, no, no. Stop right there.
Okay, so basically they promised her parents they'd be home by 11. And then there were some motorists that saw the Rambler and its occupants parked at Lover's Lane spot along Lake Herman Road in Benicia, California. A couple moments later, another driver noticed two seemingly lifeless bodies on the side of the road. So the police and others responded to the scene and they found Betty Lou dead, with 5 bullet wounds in her back, and David was found next to the Rambler, with a bullet wound in his head. He was still breathing, though.
Oh, no.
No, that's good.
Okay, I know, but that's still sad. Honestly, sometimes it's better off to be dead than, like,
have to live
so many brain issues and, you know, like, I mean, I don't know if he ended up having issues, but sometimes people will just turn into, like, you know, like,
it's just hard for them to live is what you mean.
Yeah, like they're paralyzed. They have strokes now all the time, you know, like, it's...
They're suffering more.
Yeah, rather than... I mean, I'm not saying it's a better option.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
Yes, yes, yes.
But that's why I said, oh, no.
No, I know what you mean.
But anyways, I mean, yay, but oh no.
So there were bullet holes in the car's roof and the back window. So that indicated that they may have fired warning shots to force the victims out of the vehicle. Shell casings recovered at the crime scene identified the ammunition as Winchester Western Super X copper coated. Ballistic evidence indicated that a killer used a .22 caliber, possibly a J.C. Higgins Model 80 semi-automatic pistol. They believed the two teenagers were random targets as well. So they don't think that this was planned. Yeah.
Why? Why then?
I
mean, not saying like you... Oh my God.
No, you're fine. You're okay. I understand.
No, I am not okay.
Okay, sorry. You're not okay.
I'm upset.
I'm so sorry.
I don't like that. I don't like any of this. Why am I here? Goodbye!
Do you want to hear about an escapee real quickly?
Yes!
Will that make you feel better?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like to hear people that actually survived.
So...
Fine.
So this happened in an area west of Modesto. Do you remember what happened in Modesto?
No.
That was our last episode. Well, my last episode. That was the Lacey Peterson
episode. Oh, okay, okay.
That happened in Modesto as well. This is
why
one of
it,
the...
It didn't sound familiar to me. Why?
Maybe I just didn't say it enough. Well, maybe I was too focused on saying February.
Probably.
February.
And just now in this sentence, he said it like 5 times.
So, she was 22. Oh, I didn't even say her name. Her name was Kathleen Johns. She was 22, and she was allegedly abducted on March 22nd, 1970, on Highway 132 near I-580 in an area east of Modesto. She escaped from the car of a man who drove her and her infant daughter around the area between Stockton and Patterson for approximately an hour and a half. That's all the information I really have on that one.
Wait, but so she was abducted?
She was, but then she got out. Like, she escaped.
But, like, nothing happened to her? She was just...
No, she's okay now. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's good.
I mean, I hope so. I don't know her, obviously, but... That's as far sad. As I know.
I mean, I'm sure she had some emotional trauma.
Oh, without a doubt. That's terrifying.
I mean...
There are, like, so many stories of people that have met the serial killers, and the serial killers did things to them that they did to some of their victims before killing them, which is terrifying to me.
Wait, what?
Sorry. I'm going to try to say that one more time. There are so many stories of people who were... who remember having interactions with serial killers, and the serial killers were trying to do the same things that they did to other people before they killed them. Did that make more sense?
No.
Okay.
Give me an example.
Yeah, no, of course. So, for example, if I was listening to And That's Why We Drink, and they did a Ted Bundy episode, mm-hmm. I forgot if it was either Em's or Christine's mother, but one of them was somehow linked to Ted Bundy somehow. It wasn't their mother, but it was one of their friends.
Wow.
But basically, Ted Bundy was being charming to that friend.
Oh, like and how they like leer them.
Yeah, yeah. How if sometimes serial killers do that to people and they don't end up being killed. Like, it's crazy to think that they did that to so many people.
That's weird.
And terrifying. And I can't imagine ever... being in a situation in which I learned someone I may have had an interaction with was a serial killer.
That would be very scary if you see, even if it's like a guy on, like you see a guy on the news and you're like, he checked me out on, like at the store.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, no, like actual checked out, not like, oh, she's cute. You know what I meant? Like he bagged my groceries, you know? That's what I was
trying
to say.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Really appreciate it. Yes,
but
no, anyways, that,
but
yes.
Yeah, you're like, wait, like he totally could have done that.
You know, that's terrifying. Okay, so this happened in Verejo. If I'm pronouncing that wrong, I'm so sorry. So a 22-year-old Darlene Farron, she was wife, mother, and a popular waitress at a restaurant. On the night of the 4th of July, she stopped to pick up her friend Michael Majot, we're going to go with it that way.
I mean, it makes sense to me.
Yeah. And so she stopped in the parking lot of Blue Rock Springs Park. Michael later told the police that another vehicle pulled into the lot around midnight and then left, only to return a few minutes later. The driver got out of the car, shined a bright light, and fired into the Corvair with a 9mm handgun. So, Michael was shot in the jaw, and shoulder, and the leg, and Darlene was also hit several times. At 12:40 p.m., a call later traced to a gas station payphone, and a man rang the Vallejo Police Department and claimed responsibility for the shooting as well as the murders on Lake Herman Road. So the murders from last time. They called the police, also said that they were the people that killed the last couple.
Oh, okay.
So this is going to be a quote from it. I want to report a murder. If you go 1 mile east on Columbus Parkway, you will find kids in a brown car. They were shot and killed with a 9mm Luger. I also killed those kids last year. Goodbye. That's terrifying, right?
I have to drive home after this.
And you still have one more story to go.
No.
You're the one that recommended that.
I know.
So, Darlene died on arrival at the hospital, and Michael did survive, but they were not able to identify any suspects at all for this one.
There's an ad for sunglasses.
Yeah.
In between.
It's kind of weird. I like those.
Ray-Bans.
I like the red ones.
We work with sunglasses.
Here, I can show you the picture. Like, this is what the notes looked like.
Oh.
Yeah. Although he did write another one. I'm going to read this one out loud. This was a letter to San Francisco. Not just to the town of San Francisco. Hold on. To the San Francisco Examiner. This was on July 31st, 1969.
To
the entire city of San Francisco. Okay, so this says, Dear Editor, I am the killer of the two teenagers last Christmas at Lake Herman and the girl lost on the 4th of July. To prove this, I shall state some facts which only I and the police know. So then he starts to list. So on, this is for the Christmas shootings, so, or the killings, I'm sorry, not the shootings. So these were the ones off of the side of the road. One, the brand name of the ammo was Super X. Two, 10 shots were fired. Three, boy was on his back with feet to the car. Four, girl was lying on her right side, feet to the west. This was for the ones of the 4th of July. One, girl was wearing patterned pants. Two, boy was also shot in the knee. Three, ammo was made by Western. Here is a siphon, or that is part of one. The other two parts are being mailed to the Vallejo Times and SF Chronicle. I want you to print this cipher on the front page of by Friday afternoon, August 1st, 1969. If you do not print this cipher, I will go on a killing rampage Friday night. This will last the whole weekend. I will cruise around killing people who are alone at night until Sunday night or until I kill
that
a dozen
so
people.
That is so scary. That's why you should never be alone, guys. Ever.
This has been a PSA to get a travel buddy.
No, really, though.
Like, seriously. No, that sounded like a joke, but, like, seriously, don't
like
don't
it go genuinely is. And if you do have to go some places alone, you have to tell people where you're going.
Seriously, you do.
Like, at least tell one other loved one where you're going. Like, oh, I'm going to make a Target run. That way, if you do go missing, they can tell the police this is where she was, and they can look at cameras, and, you know? Come on, guys. Yeah. Let's be smart. Go on.
Okay. So, in late September, there were two college students, Bryant Hartnell and Cecilia Shepherd. They were on the shore of Lake Berryessa, which was about 30 miles north of Napa, California. Apparently, a man appeared holding a gun and wearing some sort of hooded costume with the white crossed circle stitched across the chest, which, in case you didn't see in the note, was what he signed it with.
Ew.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. He said that he needed money to escape from prison and needed, or sorry, he had escaped from prison and that he needed money and a car to go to Mexico. He then bound their wrists with plastic clothesline, and then he plunged a knife into Brian's back 6 times. He then stabbed Cecilia 10 times. He then walked over to Brian's car, used a pen, and drew the crossed circle, as it says, on the door, and it did have the dates on it. So it said September 27th, 69, 6:30. And then there was a notation apparently that said by knife. Terrifying. Terrifying.
That is so scary.
Absolutely terrifying.
Oh my God.
He drew it with a pen on the door. Like, that's so terrifying. So a man called the police department at 7:40 to report a double murder. He described Brian's car, and then he confessed, "I'm the one who did it." They traced the call to a payphone at a car wash in Napa. Cecilia did survive, but 2 days later... Oh, Cecilia died. I'm so sorry. 2 days later...
Did you
later,
say she didn't die?
I said survived at first, but I meant died.
Complete opposite
thing. Yeah, Cecilia. Entirely opposite. She passed away, and 2 days later, Brian did survive. Well, I guess he survived the whole time. That's okay. So this is the message written on the door. I will be posting this on the Instagram.
Ew.
It's eerie.
Ew.
Eerie to look at.
Eerie.
Eerie.
I tried to add you in front of eerie, but
thank you.
It didn't work. So.
All right. So Paul Stein, 28-year-old student and husband, was a cab driver in San Francisco. He had picked up a fare and headed for his destination in upscale Presidio Heights neighborhood. At the intersection of Washington and Cherry Streets, the passenger shot him in the head and removed a piece of the victim's shirt. And the man just walked away before the police arrived. Just walked away.
Why?
Well, because he shot him, so he needed to...
But why did he take the shirt?
The police radio broadcast mistakenly described him as a black man, while the officers that passed him, dismissed a white man resembling the correct description because they said the wrong race.
Oh my God.
They basically saw the man that fit the description and just kind of went, okay, no, you're fine.
Right.
There were fingerprints found on the driver's side that could have belonged to the killer, and there was a sketch provided by the witnesses. This case was considered a routine robbery until the office of San Francisco Chronicle received an envelope with the letter from the Zodiac. And these were the words: "I am the murderer of the taxi driver." The envelope also contained a bloodstained piece of Paul Stein's shirt. The Zodiac denied he left fingerprints and claimed the police sketch was inaccurate because he'd worn a disguise.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be his exact letter that he wrote. This is the Zodiac speaking. "I am the murderer."
Ew.
I agree. Yeah. "I am the murderer of the taxi driver over by Washington Street of Maple Street last night. To prove this, here is a bloodstained piece of his shirt."
There we go.
"I am..."
You knew that, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm over here like, why?
And I already said that. You just kind of...
Oh.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, well.
"I am the same man who did in the people of the North by the Bay Area. The San Francisco police... could have caught me last night if they had searched the park properly instead of holding road races with their motorcycles, seeing who could make the most noise."
Were they really doing that?
That's what it says.
Or is he just saying that?
I'm not too sure. The car drivers should have just parked their cars and sat there quietly waiting for me to come around the corner. School children make nice... Oof. See, this is really hard to read. School children make nice, tough...
Etc.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
I think okay. I shall wipe. Yeah.
I think I should...
He does have rough handwriting.
Yeah. Let me start this over. This one, this line is really, really rough, okay? School children make nice, tough, etc. I think I shall wipe out a school bus some morning. Just shoot off the front, and then pick off the kiddies as they come bouncing out. Yeah. And this is what the front of it looks like, the front of the envelope as well. This is from history.com. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Was it the kids thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is going to be what this looked like. Because he wrote it to other people as well. And that's what it looks like, his cipher.
Why?
So,
why are people like this?
I don't know. Those are going to be all of the confirmed murders of the Zodiac Killer. Also, something I left out about Kathleen, the woman with her baby. He did mention something about an interesting ride with a woman and her baby. So that one is, like, more than likely them.
Don't get in people's cars.
No, don't. So, this... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
There was a video on YouTube where this guy was like, I hitchhiked my way to Mexico or whatever. Okay. And honestly, that's so freaking creepy.
That's terrifying. I would never let someone in my car, nor would I want to get into someone else's car.
Although he was a grown-ass man, so maybe that's that kind of helped him. But if
so
it was
were
like,
some of these men.
I mean, that's true. I mean, if you're going to want to murder someone, you're going to do it. It doesn't really matter how old you are. But yeah. I don't know. I feel like... I don't know. That was great. It was kind of a cool video, but... But I would never do that. That's
Thanks
scary.
For that promo, man.
You're welcome. I didn't even tell you who it was. So.
No, you didn't.
I think it's the yes theory. I think that... Anyways.
Okay, so... The search for new leads in the Zodiac case led investigators across the United States to New York. The office of Albany Times Union newspaper received an envelope postmarked on August 1st, 1973, with the cross circle drawn in the corner of the return address. The letter read, "You are wrong. I'm not dead or in the hospital. I'm alive and well, and I'm going to start killing again. Below is the name and location of my next victim, but you better hurry because I'm going to kill her August 10th at 5 p.m. when the shift changes. Albany is a nice town." And then below the message, the writer included three rows of symbols. According to an FBI report, Bureau Cryptanalysis deciphered the coded message to read, "Albany Medical Center, this is only the beginning." Investigators were unable to identify any murders that would happen that could explain the vague reference to the victim on August 10th. Handwriting experts could not determine if the new letter was prepared by the writer of the Zodiac letters due to the lack of significant characteristics. But in the Albany message, but this possibility could not be eliminated based off of limited analysis.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's how he did most of his things with coded things. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So how are you feeling?
Well, I cried, so not good.
I'm sorry. I'm real sorry.
Why'd you do this to me? I don't. I mean, honestly, I think just hearing about these just makes me even more aware of my surroundings.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it's fine, I guess.
Just so you know, the Zodiac Killer was also the inspiration for the psychopath in 1971, Clint Eastwood.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dirty Harry, yeah.
Huh.
So.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, but yeah. So,
but a lot of killers in movies and stuff are based off of real people, because mm-hmm. people get their inspiration from.
It's kind of
like weird to think about now.
Well, there are a lot of different serial killer movies based off of it. Like, there's one about the serial killer Robert Hansen. I will talk about him eventually. Have you ever heard of The Dangerous Game?
Mm-mm.
I think it was a movie. It was based off of this as well.
Okay.
This wasn't the movie I'm actually talking about, actually. But what he would do is he would kidnap women and then set them off into a forest entirely naked and basically hunt them. So, yeah.
That is so scary.
It's terrifying. Yes, absolutely. And it seemed as though he only went after prostitutes as well. I'm sorry, please continue. Or sex workers.
Because they like to play with their victims. And
yeah.
It's even worse.
It's disgusting.
Like there's the ones that just kill you, just straight up like, pew, and you're done.
Such and as him, one, I believe.
Yeah, and then there's some that are just like, you know what, let's mess around for a bit.
Yeah.
Like, those are, which one's worse? Like.
That's a good question, honestly.
Like, they're both very horrible, but it's like, I feel like you have to be even more psycho to, like, have a lot more fun with it.
Playing mind games with your poor victims that are already being tortured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So we have a few different theories for who this person is. And one of the first ones is going to be Ted Kaczynski, who was the Unabomber. Have you heard of him before?
No.
Have I? No, I don't think you have.
If you haven't talked about it, then I haven't heard it.
I have not spoken about him. Basically, he would mail bombs to people.
Oh my god, wait, no.
Yeah. So, there's that. And also the murderer Charles Manson as well was also convicted of him.
But yeah, I know the Charles Manson one.
Yeah, he basically had his own cult for killing, basically. He was the reason he based something off of one Beatles song that I cannot remember right now. We will eventually do an episode on him.
You know what we should, you never saw the, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? The newest Tarantino movie?
No.
First off, it was really good. You need to see it. But it was basically like a take on, what was it? It was between these hippies and these famous people. These hippies like went to a famous neighborhood in Hollywood and they were like, and they went and killed these famous people.
Okay.
But in the Tarantino movie, he made it to where the hippies died.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like kind of funny actually. But like, I don't know what I'm talking about. But the moral of the story is, we'll have to look into that because I bet the actual story is really interesting. Anyways, go on.
Okay. thank you.
You're welcome.
So, the true crime author and former San Francisco Chronicle cartoonist Robert Graysmith wrote two separate works on the killer. These books were a book called Zodiac, which was in 1986, and a book called Zodiac Unmasked, which was in 2002. And he identified a man named Arthur Lee Allen as the most likely suspect. He did die in 1992, or Arthur Lee Allen did, and he was never connected, really, to any of the murders. Not too sure why he was convicted. I will need to look into books as well. Yeah, I'm curious. So, in 2014, HarperCollins published The Most Dangerous Animal of All by Gary Stewart, which claims that his father, Earl Van Bess Jr., who bears a strong resemblance to the man in the police sketch, was the Zodiac Killer. So he's blaming his own father. Terrifying. Louis Myers,
Another man came forward in 2014 to reveal that a friend named Louis Myers had confessed to being the killer before his death in 2002.
What the heck?
Certain events, which with the history matched up with the connection with the Zodiac. But as with Allen and Van Best, there was no conclusive proof. So those are going to be the main suspects.
Why would you confess to something that you obviously didn't do?
Well, it's possible he did.
Oh, I guess so.
Because, I mean, keep in mind how...
But people still do confess. When
that's true. Obviously was it's awful. Yeah. But the Zodiac Killer seems so proud of what he does. He doesn't seem to be claiming it wasn't him at all. You know?
Yeah.
So I bet he would confess to it.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. But I don't know, obviously.
I feel like... I feel like a lot of serial killers, especially after they're caught, they're like, oh yeah, I did this, I did that. And
because they're proud of what they did. Like, they believe it was something good.
Sick.
It is sick.
Sick. I wish I could spit on them.
We can find one you can spit on. It's okay.
Okay, good.
But yeah.
That is
That's going to be the Zodiac Killer.
I didn't like him. Well, I don't like any of them, but like, oh god.
That one's rough, yeah. Well, I say that after every episode, don't I?
What, literally, yes. All of... Every time you talk, it's just rough. Me... It's rough, and it's just me going in the corner, like, sad. Or, like, crying. Like, that's it.
Yeah, and whenever you talk, we're just like, ooh! We're having, like, a fun Boobie. Time. But then I, like... I show up, and so I just make things sad.
I don't like having it to be my story, you know, because of the pressure. But I like it because it's a lot more laid back than yours.
Yeah, and with ours, we need to be, like, actually careful, you know, about what we say. We can't say anything that could offend the victims' families.
And it's not like we're wanting to, but it is slightly off-putting, then it's...
It can be offensive, exactly. And we don't want that in any way. We just want to be getting facts across. We don't want to be...
And, I mean, it's...
Doing anything else.
Yeah. But, I mean, with ghosts, it's different.
Somehow, yeah.
I know, it's still dead people, though. It's, like, still sad.
But it's, like, different, somehow. There's a lot that just happened over here. Well, that was my story on the Zodiac Killer.
Well,
as recommended by Karina.
Thank you, Karina!
We're never going to stop talking about on this show, apparently.
You have won a round tit trip. Wait, hold on. You have won a round trip to Cancun! Hey.
Please don't actually.
I'm just kidding. This is not. I'm just kidding. This is not an actual game show host. I was gonna like. Oh, I'm tired. Anyways,
let me try.
The participants will not actually be going to Cancun. Please do not believe that you will be going to Cancun based off of what this person said.
Wowee, that was actually good. And anytime you say Cancun.
Mm-hmm. Like an automated thing, like, this person will not be going to Cancun. Like the person.
I'm moral of the story, Karina. I'm sorry, you're not going to Cancun.
I don't think she once believed that she was.
I don't know. I think she got excited when I said she won a round trip.
I think I've said her name.
Did you get more excited, times. Karina?
Let me talk.
Did you?
This is now the part of the show where we are still sad about the story. But we tried to make ourselves feel better.
Exactly.
By laughing I'm about things.
I'm tired of crying.
I think I've said Karina's name more than I've said my own name in this episode.
Why would you say your own name?
Sorry, I meant in the whole show. Like, in all of our episodes.
Oh, okay. Just, yeah, that makes sense. I was like, we only say our names once. Like, just throughout. Emily.
That's the
dream. Like, so in 1970, Emily... That's it?
Yeah, whispering to myself.
Oh my god, my back hurts so bad.
I'm sorry. Let's end the episode then.
All right. Okay, so you're going to follow us on Instagram.
Horror Slumber Party Podcast.
Do you like how I said you're going to follow us?
Yeah.
You're going to follow us on Twitter.
Party_horror.
Yeah. Email us suggestions, input, and personal stories, if you want to, at
horrorslumberparty@gmail.com.
Oh my god, do you know what I just realized? You know that little fast voice we did where it's like, yeah, we should put that at the end of every episode where it's like, just so you know, anyone there's really gonna, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They probably had no idea what I was saying. Okay. Where it's like, I'm sorry, we're like, this is about sensitive topics. You know what I'm saying?
Like a disclaimer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like really quick and fast.
I mean, we should have our disclaimers nice and slow.
Yeah. Never mind.
Just to be safe. You know?
Okay. Well, we love you guys. Thank you for listening. Have a fun night. Oh, that is not the outro.
Okay. We haven't recorded together in about a week now. So it's. Nothing is going well.
Good night and scary dreams.
Bye.